Well, let's open up our hymnals tonight. Let's open up our Bibles tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As I've titled this one, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practiced to deceive." That's the title of the notes. If you don't have a copy of the notes, if you just raise your hand, the ushers will make sure you get a copy. Some behind you over there. Real important, you have the notes. A lot of scriptures are in there. It'll make it a lot easier for you. Instead of flipping through your Bible, you can take a look in there as we go through a fair amount of scripture tonight. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. While you're going there, I'm going to take a moment and just say to you a couple things to pray about. Pray for the teenagers still. As Wednesday now, they will be traveling back Saturday, and they'll be traveling starting about 4 o'clock in the morning. And so make sure that you pray for them. And on their way back, why don't you I'm not on. I'm on now. Am I good? What's it saying? It's the batteries. Okay. While they're bringing batteries down, let me explain to you a couple things, all right? Since I don't get an opportunity often to come up and talk to you about this, let me talk to you a little bit about LBA. Do you have batteries? Okay. Let me talk to you a little bit about LBA. Since you've been praying about school's going to be starting in just another week or so, I just want to give you an update to tell you that right now LBA is doing very, very strong. Right now we're looking at, we could almost have a record number this year for our school. So keep praying for our school. Keep praying for our kids, as in another week or so we'll have another beginning of the school year parent meeting, and then have another great year. But God's blessed. It's a difficult thing. Right now, you know, the economy is not all that strong, but I thank the Lord for parents that are faithful and knowing that they want their children to have a Christian education, and they're doing all they can. So keep praying for that. Keep praying for parents to meet the needs and financially and to keep jobs. That's a hard thing right now. So keep praying for that. But I just wanted to let you know right now I am thrilled to no end about where the school is, and another year is ready to start. And then pray also besides for the school, then for the teenagers that are I talk about coming. Thanks, Tom. For the teenagers, I just found out today or yesterday that Hope had a little accident, nothing new, but she had a little accident and needed to get a couple stitches above her eye, and so they had to take care of that. And then today, there we go, then today, pastor called and said, pray for my wife. She's not feeling well, symptoms of the flu. He said, I had it in Michigan. Now she's got it and not feeling well. So keep them in prayer, and as they be traveling at the end of the week. All right, I think we're good to go now. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. These verses that I'm going to be reading are key verses in 1 Corinthians. Paul was writing, it's mainly about church. It's mainly about what a church should be founded on. But I believe as we look at these also, we can find out that this could also deal in our personal life. As we read through these, you're going to read about the fact that it's talking about that we are the temple of God. If you're sitting here tonight and you're saved and the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, then we are the temple of God. As we look at these verses, we can apply these verses to us personally, and I think you'll find that to be a benefit as we go through these. Let's take a look. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, it shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this time, and I thank you, Father, for your word. And I thank you, Father, for the clarity of it. We thank you, Father, for an opportunity tonight to open up your word and to grasp truth and to apply it into our lives. And I pray, Father, that that would be the case for each and every one of us as we go through the importance of in your word about being deceptive. And I pray, Father, that you give wisdom as we go through this. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible warns us to not be deceived or devoured by sin. The Bible warns us of that. As we were looking through these verses, it talks about in verse 11, for other foundations can no man lay than that laid which is Jesus Christ. If you're saved, then Jesus Christ lives inside of you. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, listen, if you are putting in your body, if you're taking in spiritual things, then you're doing what God wants you to do. But on the other hand, wood, hay, and stubble, if you're dealing mainly on world things, then that's what you're going to be showing. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So what type of person are you? You have the Holy Spirit. You have this great foundation. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But then what is it that you're going to be putting in your body? Is it going to be stuff that you're going to feed yourself spiritually? You're going to feed yourself of things of the flesh. And that's what is being talked about. In verse 16, it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So he's asking, he's saying, listen, don't you know the fact that you're the temple? What are you going to do? What are you going to end up laying in yourself? What are you going to end up in your life? But then he goes to verse 18, which is, he goes through all of these things. He's kind of building this whole building block of, like a building. He says, listen, you have a great foundation now. You're saved. You have Jesus Christ. You're ready to go. But now be careful what you're building upon that foundation. Because if you're going to be building fleshly, worldly things, then you're going to have issues. You're going to have problems. You might still have a great foundation, but you're still going to have problems, he says. So be careful what you build. But then in verse 18, it says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. So he's saying, listen, if you're thinking that if you're going to be saved, but then you're going to be going out and do worldly things, you're going to be doing things that feeds your flesh, then I want you to know you're deceiving yourself. I'm just going to let you know that. Then you're deceiving yourself. If you think that you could have this great foundation as Jesus Christ saving you, and now you're going to say, well, fine, I'm saved, but now I'm going to be going and doing my own thing and starting feeding my flesh, then he goes, then you're deceiving yourself and you're a fool. Then you're a fool. But to know that, we have to understand what the word deceive means. I like this. When you look at the definition, what does the word deceive mean? It means to cause someone to believe something that is not true. To cause someone to believe something that is not true. So another way to say it is to cause someone to believe something that is a lie. If it's not true, then it's false. It's a lie. So you're causing someone to believe something that's not true. You're saying it is, but it's not. That's what the word deceive means. It means to ensnare. That's to trap. To cheat. I like this old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Have you heard that before? You got fooled? Listen, if you get fooled, you go, oh, shame on you, I got fooled. Fool me twice, though. I should know better. I should know better. But then, hey, you know, shame on me, I should know better. But I like this. Among the most tragic and dangerous deceptions we must avoid is when we deceive ourselves. Among the most tragic and dangerous ones of deceptions we must avoid is when we deceive ourselves. Now, an example of deceiving ourselves is, you know, if you've ever had a dog, you've seen this, you know, you see a dog and he chases his tail. He just goes around and around. I had a dog. I loved taking the tail every now and then. It was just fun entertainment. Taking the tail and waving it in front of their face. Then like getting them started, basically. Here you go. And next thing you know, they go and you just step back and walk. And they just go around in a circle. You think, how stupid can you be? Going after your tail. And you know what? I think I think that's what I think about when it says about deceiving yourself. I mean, think about the definition. To call someone, well, wait a minute, I'm the someone. So I'm causing myself to believe something that is not true. That's deceiving yourself. So I'm causing myself to believe something, but it's not true. So I'm fooling myself. It's kind of a silly thing, isn't it? Now, I don't know about you, but I really hate to be deceived. I really do. Here's one of the most easy things that we get deceived. You can maybe think of some things just to, you know, to kind of get you going for tonight about being deceived. You can come up with different things. Here's one that really eats at me. You go and you're driving and you're hungry and you go, let's go to a fast food. And you're going to drive up and you drive and look at the fast food and you say, oh, and you got the menu in there and you're looking at the menu and you're going, oh, I want that. For example, let's show you what that is. Look at that. Let's see if I can point a couple things out of here. I wish I had this. Oh, there we go. You see this? That's dew, okay? You see that on the tomato? You see the dew there? Look at this. That's called crispy fresh lettuce out of the garden. There's a little bit of mayonnaise. And then look at the onions there and there. Pickle, tomato here. And, oh, let's not forget the red little ketchup in there. And then you got that beautiful burger on that. It's just, look at that. Now, I'm not going to tell you where that is, but then I went, and then I went and bought it, and I took a picture of it, and that's... Now, I believe that's a pickle. That right there is an onion shaving. There is no dew. I don't know what happened to my vegetable at all when it came to lettuce, because there's none there. There are sesame seeds. And there's plenty of bun, and there's a burger there. Now, am I wrong? I mean, is that, how many people say amen? So that's just, you understand that. Okay, but now do you understand that's being deceptive? That's being deceptive. Now, and again, this is typical. You know, but just, I mean, that's fast food. But I went to a restaurant, opened up a menu, and sometimes their menus sometimes are unbelievable. I don't know how much they spend on their menu. I mean, sometimes they're this big. You open it up, it's like comes out at you. I wonder whether they're going to give you 3D glasses when you get a menu soon. You know, whoa, I want that. But I'll tell you what, I opened up and I went, this looks great. And I ordered it, and I looked at it, and I go, you've got to be kidding. I almost was tempted, knowing I was going to be doing this, I was almost tempted to say, can you bring me the menu? And they go, here's the menu, and this is what I got. I want you to bring me what this menu looks like, and then I'll buy it. Because otherwise, it's deceptive. And we fall for this all the time in our lives. And you know what's so funny is you guys sit back and go, yeah, I laugh too and go, yeah, it's like for granted. You just, yeah, well, that's life. And you know what? We settle for being deceived all the time. We settle for this. And this is something funny. Fast food. There are so many things you can get deceived. It's not all that funny that happens. But we get deceived all the time if you really think about it. And it's not a good thing. Well, tonight, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to tell you a story about somebody and about being deceived. And throughout the story, I'm going to go and talk about three points about being deceived in our lives through the story. The person I want to talk about, his name is Jerry. Now, Jerry is an antique dealer. And he loves to go after antiques. He's got a store. And Jerry goes around and shops around for antiques. And what he does when he shops for them, he's looking for something cheap. Then he picks them up cheap, and he sells them in his store for a great profit. Now, he prides himself on the knowledge that he has on antiques. And he thinks he's pretty good at what he does. So he thinks, hey, I'm an expert at what I do. I know everything about antiques. The truth is, there are many people like Jerry in our world today. They think they're pretty smart. So I want to talk about areas about deceptions through Jerry. Number one is, we deceive ourselves by thinking too highly of our own wisdom. Think about that. We deceive ourselves by thinking too highly of our own wisdom. Here I talked about Jerry. Jerry sits there and thinks, hey, I got it all figured out. I'm an expert. I pride myself on that. As a Christian, though, you've got to be careful. See, when we're talking about being deceived and deception as a Christian, that can be a gray area. To God, it's not gray. It's not gray at all. To God, everything's black and white. But in our world, it's just taken for granted. But as a Christian, we've got to be careful about being deceived. We've got to be careful about deceiving. Now, remember our verse that we started in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. In other words, there is a problem of pride. We deceive ourselves by thinking too highly of our own wisdom in our life. And as Christians, we can fall for that too. You know what that's called? It's called pride. We got pride in our life. You know, that's the number one sin. I've said it before. You can pick anything out that you end up doing that's sinful, and you're going to find out pride's in it. Pride's going to be wrapped up in, no matter what it is, pride is in it. Because we think so highly of ourselves. It's all about us. Let me read some verses. These verses that you have in your notes are self-explanatory. Let's read some of these. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. But not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's so simple. We're just supposed to acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. In other words, we're supposed to say, Lord, you take this. Lord, what do you think of this? In other words, you know, what we like to do is simply say, I never gave it to the God. I can take care of it myself. I don't need to pray. I don't need to do that. I'll do it. We don't give it to God. It's pride. Proverbs 26:12 says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Isaiah 5:21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God, hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Some people think they know better than God. We all can fall into that trap. We can all be deceived and deceive ourselves and go, oh, I don't do that. Well, then, did you give it to God? Have you asked God what he thinks about that? Well, no, I got it all figured out. I know what I'm doing. We know better than God. Another thing is man's profession of wisdom shows his ignorance. Man's profession of wisdom shows his ignorance. In Romans 1, 21 through 23, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but because vain in their imaginations, they were foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So in other words, what's happened is we've taken God and put God in a box, is what they're saying there. We've taken God and we've actually humanized him and made him more human instead of supernatural and say, God, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's what he's saying. Doesn't that describe a lot of religious people today who reject what the Bible says? They reject what the Bible says. Listen, to be a follower of Jesus, we must become foolish in the eyes of the world. Like we said in 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man despise himself. If any man among us seems to be wise in the world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Listen, we need to become fools when it comes to this world and not be so focused on our flesh in this world and not so focused on us and think we have it all figured out, because that's not the case. We don't. Not only that, we see if I depend upon my own wisdom, I'm doomed to make mistakes. If I depend on my own wisdom, I'm doomed to make mistakes. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Listen, if you sit there and go, I'm going to do it my way, you're going to make mistakes. God wants to protect you. God wants to do something in your life, but you've got to allow God to do that. And you've got to surrender your life to him. So knowing these, going through these verses that are very clear about pride, about leaning on our own understanding, what should we do? What are we supposed to do now with this?
How do I get out of the fact that I'm deceiving myself about this? That is simply humble yourself. We need to humble ourselves. Tough words, but that's what we need to do, is humble ourselves. You know, some of the neatest things that I get to do is the time when I pray to God and I understand the fact that I'm struggling in life. And I mean, I feel this tension in me, and I realize what it is. It's just pride. Like I said, it's the root of all evil. It's the root of our sin. So when I go, God, forgive me of my pride. Humble me, Lord, for those things. There's nothing like that when I pray like that. It is like getting the best massage you could ever imagine from God. It just totally relaxes me every single time I ask God the fact that I need to humble myself to you and how prideful I am and how I think so highly of me and how when I do something, it's about me and it's not about you. But anything that I do, it's because of you, God, because you made me who I am. And I humble myself to you. There's something about getting down on your knees to God and humbling yourself. It's something about when you're fighting with your spouse to humble yourself. It's a relaxation that you'll never experience unless you do it. And the reason why we're like that is because it's that pride. And when you sit there and say, it's not worth that, Lord, just I give it up. It's all pride. It's all about me, and I'm giving that up. We need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. I like in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14, it's a verse that's meant for a nation, but I love the fact it says, if my people, which are called by my name, and the very first thing is, shall humble themselves. There's a laundry list after that, but the very first thing is, the very first thing you got to do, listen, here's the things that I want you to do as a nation, okay? I'm going to give them to you, but you're not going to probably get there here unless you take care of the first one, which is humble yourself. Humble yourself. I mean, even as I say it, it's just an amazing way how that just is like a comfort blanket. Humble yourself. We have a hard time as people to humble ourselves. Just humble yourself. As I read all these verses about self-will, let me read some key verses that have to do about humbleness. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Proverbs 16:19, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. In those verses, you know what key words I take out? The fact that if you're humble, he'll give you more grace. He shall lift you up. It'll be better for you. He'll give you honor, and you'll be exalted. The key words I pulled out of those verses, that's what happens if you'll humble yourself. You just need to understand we've got to humble ourselves. Now, the world's not going to do that. Now, listen, if I really went over to that store and said, look at my burger, and I want it to look like that, they don't care. They're going to say, here's the money. Give me the money. If you want the burger, this is what you're going to get. Okay, if you don't like it, fine. That's the world. But we, as Christians, shouldn't act that way. We need to be humble. We need to be honest. And we need to get pride out of our lives. Let's get back to Jerry, our antique dealer. Well, then one day, Jerry, he decided now that he wanted to go shop around and look for antiques. So he drove to Kentucky and found himself a motel in a small town. Got himself situated in the motel, then came out and went, okay, let's start looking around and finding some old country stores. So he's looking around and he's driving around and he finds an old country store, sees outside, he's got a whole bunch of stuff outside, a bunch of knickknacks and some junk out there, and he goes, hey, that might be a good possibility. Pulls in. So he goes in to the store, he's looking around, he's seeing knickknack things, he's seeing some antique kind of things, he's looking at some stuff, nothing really catches his eye. Until he looks down on the ground. And down on the ground, he sees a bowl. He goes, and he looks a little closer at it. As he looks at it, he says, that's an old Chinese engraved coconut bowl. That dates back to the 18th, 19th century. And realizes he just hit something really big. He hit something really big with this. And he realizes that's probably worth more than everything in that store combined in that little coconut bowl that's sitting down there. And then he starts thinking, man, I really want that. I really want that bowl. That is worth an awful lot. I really want that. And he starts thinking and finagling, how can he get that? Because he's saying, the owner must not realize its value. Because he sees it on the ground, filled with milk, and the cat's drinking out of it. So he's going, well, obviously, the owner doesn't think much about this. But how am I going to get that he doesn't realize what he's got? Now, Jerry, he sat in churches many times. He's heard many sermons on how to treat other people. He's a Christian. And he knows how to treat other people, which gets me to my second point. We deceive ourselves by being only hearers of God's word. We deceive ourselves by being only hearers of God's word. Look at James in our notes, James 1, 23 through 25. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, I like that because look at verse 22. You know what he could have said? James could have said, you know what? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Done. And that would make total sense, wouldn't it? You know what? Do what the Bible says. Don't be just hearers. But look what he adds. Deceiving your own selves. Because even back then, James realized the fact that people back then were just hearing God's word, but they weren't doing it, and they were deceiving themselves thinking, that's pretty good. I'm pretty good. I'm here. I'm hearing. I'm pretty good now. That's pretty good. Even here in the scriptures, it's even saying that. Don't deceive yourself in thinking that's pretty good by just being hearers. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetting the manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I use this as an example when I talk to the men in prayer in the 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, so forgive me if you were there. But I like this because when we're looking at this, I looked at illustrations that can really lock that home about what that means about, you know, we want to be doers, not hearers. Now, I look at it this way. If you know anything about football, if you don't, I'll educate you about football. Let me tell you a little about football. There are 53 on a team. But when you watch a football game, 53 people are on the team, but only 11 are on the field at one time. On one side, 11 on the other. But there's 53 on the team. Now, if you look on the sidelines, they'll scan with the camera, and you know what you're going to see? You're going to see some of the people are sitting on the bench. Some of them are on the sidelines. They're definitely watching. Some are on exercise bikes. They're keeping limber, and they're getting themselves ready to get in. Then what happens is the offense goes out. They're out there playing. Okay, their time is done. 11 goal off the sideline. 11 defense come out. So now they switch. Now you got the defense out there. And then the defense goes, you got special teams come out. They go and kick the ball, and they do that. There's another 11 that come out there and do that on a football team. Then what you also have is what's called second string and third string players. These aren't the starters. These are the ones that sit there that wait until someone gets hurt. It's sad. They're all sitting there going, get hurt, get hurt, get hurt. They're all waiting to get in the game. You know why? They want to get in. They want to get in. They can't wait. Now, they'll never sit there and say, I want this guy to get hurt, but they want to play. Even though they're getting millions, they still want to go in there and play. It's an interesting thing. You mean you're getting $1 million just to sit there? Yeah. But you know what they want to do more than anything? Get in the game. They want to get in. And you go, well, what does that have to do about being doers? Because you know what a church is kind of like that too? You know what you're doing right now? You're learning the playbook. You got to learn the plays. You got to learn what you're going to do on the team. So you're learning that. I don't know if I'd call this quite exercising and preparing, but you are going to playbook. You've got the Bible, and you're going through that. But you know what? You can be part of the team. But are you active on the team? Are you being active? I think it was funny is, again, I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. No comments, but I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. And last year, they won the Super Bowl, but one of the things that they said was so intriguing There's comments. There's one thing that was I found intriguing is they said that so many of the starters were hurt. Do you know what those people that did not play got? They got a big Super Bowl ring. Wait a minute. Did you play? Well, I didn't really play. I was hurt. But you know why they got it? They were on the team. They were on the team. But they didn't do anything. You know what they wanted to do? They wanted to play. Boy, there's something about playing on that Super Bowl game and playing. Now, think about this for a minute. On a Wednesday night, we're going to have Awanas going on. Do you know what that is? That's like the offense. They're out there. They're going on a Wednesday night. People are in here learning the playbook, but there's the game going on back there. Okay? Then those people, they'll come in here on Sunday, and then they'll be getting fed. But you know what? You've got Camp Liberty going in the back, or you've got Libertyopolis going on. And you've got people in the game. They're doing that. Do you know what happens during the week? You got what's called the mail committee. You got people over here, and they're doing that. They're in the game. They're doing stuff. You know what's going on? You got people back there over here, and they're doing Bible studies. You got teachers back here. They're in the game. On Sundays, you got this whole thing filled up. You got all these people. You know what? They're in the choir. They're in the game. Do you know what you should be asking yourself? Are you in the game? Or are you learning the playbook? But you're not in. And you're happy with that. And you're content with that. I'm learning all this stuff, but yet I'm not in the game. You got to be in the game. It doesn't do any good if you're not in the game. Now, I'm going to tell you what. It's kind of embarrassing if you sit there and someone says to you, I got the Super Bowl ring. He goes, really? What did you play? Well, I didn't really play. I mean, it's embarrassing. They want to go, yeah, I was in the game. Boy, it was so great. It's another thing to say, yeah, I'm on the team, but what do? Well, I'm not part of the team. But you're not doing anything. Here's another illustration. It's from a letter to the editor of a local newspaper. It doesn't say where it is, but it's an editor of a local newspaper. It says, I've gone for 30 years now, and in that time I have heard something like 203,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time, and the pastors are wasting theirs by giving sermons at all. Now think about that. They said they're wasting their time. Church is not meant to remember the sermons. That's not what you're here for, is to remember the sermon. Because the sermons are not the focus. You know, the sermon is not the focus of what it is. You're not here to go back and then come back in a week and go, okay, let me take notes. What do you remember? What can you remember about this? That's not about what a sermon's for. The focus is God and our relationship with Him. The point of sermons isn't usually to be remembered for 30 years. Now catch this. They are meant to be digested, internalized, and incorporated into our life. That's what it's supposed to be. You know when that happens? Right now. Right now. During the time you're spending right now. That's when you're right now. It should be right now getting in there. Now, if you go home and you meditate and God starts working with you when you go home, that's great. But here's the time you set aside for this to happen. This is not time for you to take notes. You can go, okay, I'm going to go home. Wife's going to check me out and see if I memorize this. No, the goal for this is for you to take God's word and let it impact your life and take it in. You know, scripture, God's word is illustrated so many times as being the milk. It's bread. It's meat. This is supposed to be digested and then made something out of this. It's not to be memorized. That poor fool who thinks that I don't remember anything, it's sad. You're right. He shouldn't come if that's what he's going to sit there and think about. You need to come and go, what am I getting out of this? And to take it in. Another great illustration of that is this. You come tonight, and you probably talk to people tonight. I don't think you walked in, sat down, and went, people came to talk to you and said, don't talk to me, I'm not talking. Okay, no, I'm just here. No, don't talk to me. I'm sure you talked. I'm sure you did some other things while you were here. That's typical, but that's not the main reason why you're here. That shouldn't be the main reason why you're here. Oh, I can't wait. Why do you want to come here? Because I'm going to see so-and-so. I can't wait to talk to them. We're going to get together later on, so I got to find out some things. That's your main focus? That should not be why. Now, if you go to the restaurant,
Let's say we get done and you go, let's go over to, let's just say Macaroni Grill. You're going to go to the Macaroni Grill tonight. And while you go, and let's say a group of you go there, you'll probably talk to people. As a group, you'll go to the Macaroni Grill. And you're going to say, why are you there? Let me ask you a question. Why are you going to the Macaroni Grill? To eat. You mean you're not going there to talk? Well, you'll probably talk, but why are you there? To eat. It's a restaurant. So you're going there. You're going to look at the menu. You're going to look at their deception things that you're going to end up getting that don't look like that. And you're going to order. Then they take the food and they put it in front of you. Now, you've probably talked. You've probably got a soda. So you drank a little bit of soda and you've talked. And now the meal comes in front of you and they put it in front of you. And you look at it and you're talking and you go, hang on a second. Oh, that smells good. Sounds good. Take a little finger, take a little taste. Oh, that tastes so good. And then you talk a little bit. And then everyone's around you going, are you going to eat? Are you going to eat? I'm okay. I'm just taking it in. Then you get up and you walk away and they go, oh, wait, do you want to take that with you in a doggy bag? You didn't really eat any of it. Oh, no, no, just leave it. And you walk out. Now, people are going to say, that's pretty foolish. You went to a restaurant and you didn't eat. You kind of took it in, the smell, and you kind of went, oh, isn't this great? But you didn't do the main focus of why you went. And sometimes we can come to church the same way. You're here, and you'll get so caught up of, hey, I'm in the foyer talking to people, but you're not in here getting God's word. You're not getting fed. You're out there talking. You're going to be sitting here on your smartphone, doing all you can to check out scores and everything, but you're not getting fed. The focus why you should be in here tonight is to walk out and say, this is what I got. And if you don't walk out, then you didn't get fed. If you go to a restaurant and you do the same thing, I'm there to eat something. And if you walk out saying, I didn't eat anything, what a waste this was. I didn't get anything to eat, and that's why I'm here. Well, you know what? You're here to get some spiritual food. That means you better walk in here. And it's not like, well, Pastor, you better be giving me something then. Come on. Come on. Well, you know what? You're getting God's word. You know what? It's you and the Holy Spirit working to try to get it. But you've got to be focused in that. Listen, when your food comes, I'm sure you're pretty focused on your food. You might be talking to people, but you know what? You got to get through your plate of food. So there's times where you're not talking to people, isn't there? You're eating and enjoying it. Well, the same thing. You better be focused on what you're getting. Come in and get that. Get the spiritual food. Man, when you go to a restaurant, you're going, man, I want my food. If it's 5 minutes late, you're upset. Where's the food? When you come in here, you should be going, where's the best seat? Right here, where I can focus in on it. Where I'm not sitting there getting daydreamed. Where I'm not sitting there thinking anything else can get in my way. You want to get it. That's why you're here. And when you go to a restaurant, you want the food. When you come here, you want the Bible, spiritual food. And that's what you should be going for. So if we want to get out of being deceived about being hearers only of God's word, what should we do? What should we do? Get in the game. Get in the game. Be involved. Okay? Find something that you can get involved in. Now, I can talk about biblical things as in the church, but it doesn't have to be this church. If this is something that's going to be digested, listen, how are you doing in 2011? Because if you're taking in God's word, I mean, if you're opening it up and you're reading God's word and you're letting it impact your life, then by this point, you will have seen many blessings and dividends from that. You will see it. You will experience it if you would sit there and let God's word impact you. Then there's going to be a change. But if you go, well, I don't know, nothing's really changed in my life. I'm just going to go. Then you know what? You're like that man that said, I've heard 203,000 messages and hasn't done anything. Because you know what? At home, you're going to see a difference. You'll be a different husband. You'll be a different wife. You'll treat your kids differently. All that will happen if you let God's word impact your life. So we got to be hearers only. We got to be doers. So when God's word says it, you're going to say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it. Be involved. Find something that you can be involved in ministry. Let God's word impact you at home. Take it in at church so your life can be changed. That's what you need to do. If you don't want to be deceiving yourself and going, hey, I'm pretty good. I'm okay. I come to church all the time. I'm here all the time. Well, that's great. But has it changed you? Has it molded you? Has it made you anything that you can see spiritually going in the right direction? Or it was just, here's another year. And
We can't allow that to happen because that's deceiving you, and that is Satan doing that. And don't allow Satan to do that. Let's get back to good old Jerry. There's Jerry now. He's going, oh, man, I want that bowl. What am I going to do? Gets an idea. And here's what Jerry does. Jerry walks up, picks up the cat, starts petting that cat, and talks to the owner and says, it's a nice cat. Think of selling the cat? And the owner goes, oh, I couldn't sell that cat. It's too valuable. Chases all the mice out of the store. Couldn't get rid of that cat. Oh, really? My daughter would love this cat. Really? Would you take $100? And the owner says, man, $100? Cat's not really worth $100, but man, if you really want it, she's yours for $100. Which gets me to the third point. We deceive ourselves by saying we have no sin. We deceive ourselves by saying we have no sin. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You notice it says no sin. It doesn't say little, doesn't say so much, doesn't say a percentage amount. No sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're sitting here right now and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then there was a time in your life when you sat there and realized, I have done wrong, I have sinned, and I need a Savior who died on the cross for my sins so that I can have eternal life. There was a time when you recognized that and you realized that. We can deceive ourselves, though, in saying the fact that we have no sin. Then we're deceiving ourselves. We all have some sin. Or you're deceiving yourselves. We have sin. You go, well, I don't have that much. I have a little sin. Well, okay, but you got sin. If you got sin, then it says in Romans 3:23, for all have come short of the glory of God because of that. We have come short because of that sin. There's nothing that you could pile up to get yourself there. You can't pile things up to say, well, now I can get there. You can't. We fall short of that because of sin. Whether it was a little or so much or a percentage here, I really liked what Pastor Firstall said. If you're sitting here and you think that 99% of you, percent of you think, I think I'm going to heaven, then you're 100% unsaved. Unless you got 100%, I'm sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm 100% sure. Well, if you got a 99%, you go, well, 99%, that's pretty good. Well, then, no, then you're 100% unsaved. And I like that. Because you need to be sure of that. And if you're sitting here tonight, you might be sitting here and you're deceiving yourself thinking you're pretty good. And it has nothing to do with being pretty good. You could be pretty good. You might do some good things. But you can't pile all those good things on and get to heaven. It just isn't going to work. The only way you can get to heaven is understanding the fact that you're a sinner. You're an all-righteous God that died on the cross named Jesus Christ. He died, rose again, proving he was God. And that one day when you'll die, he'll take you to heaven. You have to confess the fact that I'm a sinner, and you have to believe that. And if you do, he'll take you to heaven. But you got to believe that. But as for us, and if we're Christians, and many people today are trying to eliminate sin. And I don't mean eliminate sin in the way of saying, I just want to get sin out of my lives. That's great. I don't mean it that way. Many people are trying to eliminate sin in a different way. That is, when we say that sin is not really sin. When we say that sin is not really sin, then we're deceiving ourselves. For instance, homosexuality is just a different lifestyle. So, you know, sin is not really sin. Well, no, it's just a different lifestyle. Adultery is just having an affair. That's what adultery is. Fornication is just living together. It's fornication. Lying is just bending the truth a little, is lying. Cheating is just being a smart businessman. That's cheating. Gambling, well, it is called gaming. Drinking, it's okay as long as you don't get drunk. People that believe that are deceiving themselves. And you go, man, I don't know. But if you believe that, then you're deceiving yourself. Sin is sin. And you've got to understand that we sin. We do wrong. We deceive ourselves when we think we can sin and get by with it. We're deceiving ourselves. We just deceive ourselves and think, I can do this and get by with it. It's okay. Oh, you lied. Oh, I was cruel to my wife. Oh, I wasn't submissive to my husband. But there's no lightning bolt. I guess it's okay then. We deceive ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves thinking it's okay. We can get by with that. Don't forget Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap a corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You will reap what you sow. It might not be immediate, but you will. And you don't think you're going to get away with it. But we deceive ourselves thinking we can get away with that. Just like good old Jerry. We need to keep in mind the power of sin's temptations. It's out there. And Satan wants us to bite for it. Come on, grab onto this. So what should we do in number three? We deceive ourselves by saying we have no sin. What should we do? Confess sin daily. We need to have that short sin list. You need to confess it and go, that was wrong. That was against God's word. Remember, this is it's a continuation. Well, if you can't do number two, you're going to have a hard time with number three, because number two says, don't be hearers, but be doers of the word. Well, what's the doing of the word? Confess your sins. We have sin. Well, you got to be able to do it then. Or you're just hearers. One ear and out the other. I know I should, but I don't. Well, then you're a hearer and not a doer. We have to confess sin. And understand this was wrong. There's nothing wrong with that either. We live in this fleshly body. We're going to make mistakes. Then get it right and then move ahead and say, God, help me not to do that again. Not only that, Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Look at spiritual things instead of worldly things. Focus on those things so you don't do the sin. And if you think you would never do what Jerry is doing, then let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There are many, many men that we know, many religious people that we know, many that pastors know, that have fallen thinking, oh, it won't happen to me. You're deceiving yourself. I can take it. I can handle it. You're deceiving yourself. If a man, you're sitting in here and go, hey, I can walk by if someone's dressed improperly and I won't look and, hey, I won't be tempted that way. You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself if you think, I can handle this. You're deceiving yourself. And you need to be careful with that. That's not that big of a sin. I can handle it. You're deceiving yourself. And you're going to fall. And you need to be careful. Well, let's finish off this story with Jerry. See what happens with Jerry. Jerry picks up the cat, got it, pays that $100, starts heading to the door. And you're thinking, okay, well, how's it going to happen? Jerry stops and goes, oh, excuse me. Could you help me out for just a minute? I have a room down there by the at the motel down the street, and I got to feed the cat. You know what? Could I have that bowl down there? I'll give you an extra $10. Could I just have that bowl so I could feed the cat? And the owner looks at Jerry and says, oh, I couldn't let that bowl go. That's my prized possession. I got that from China. Funny thing, though, as long as I've had that bowl, I've sold 17 cats. We are all targets. We are all targets of Satan, the great deceiver. Amen? We are all targets. And you look at Jerry. Jerry got himself stuck in something, thinking he was going to do something, being deceptive, trying to trick his way and cheat his way into getting something. And he had egg on his face as he walked out with a cat for $100. No bowl, but an old cat. And you go, well, that's a learning experience. You know, that's the world. As a Christian, though, we have to be very careful of that. And we have to understand the fact that, you know what, pride will get in our lives. We've got to be careful that pride is out of our lives. Number two is we've got to understand the fact that we can't just be hearers. We've got to be doers. We've got to do God's word in our lives. And whatever it says to do, we've got to try to do all we can to take it. And you know what? The times that you're reading this book at home is precious time for you. You know, reading this in front of the TV might not be the best. You know, you need that quiet time, let God speak to you. The time that you're here is priceless. Amen? This is so valuable. It's not a time that he's sitting out in the hallway and saying this. You know what? You know, and I like this. Pastor's always said to the staff, you know what? You're going to get caught always in the hallway doing something. You're going to have to be kind, but kind of be stiff about it and say, I have to get into the services. You know what? You should too. And not be stuck out there. Because why? This time is valuable. Because it's the time where I can get this. It's not about the person up here, whether it's me, Pastor. He's going to be sharing this, but it's the Holy Spirit working from this, what's being preached to you, and letting that minister where you can digest that, where your lives can be changed. But if you walk out the doors and say, I didn't get anything out of the message, well, then how much were you really eagerly trying to? I mean, again, if someone put a plate of food, how eagerly were you going to eat it? I mean, if it was there, you're going to eat it. Well, take it. It's being delivered to you. Then take it. But you've got to be focused on that. Then, number three is, when we say we don't have any sin, listen, you're going to find yourself in trouble if you say, well, I can, you know, you justify this, you justify why this is wrong, and you just think it's okay. I brought up some very key things, which I think most people would say, amen, yeah, that's true, oh yeah, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, lying. But you know what, there are some things that you know personally in your life that you kind of get by and go, well, it's not that bad. Well, it's okay. Well, don't, boy, I'm glad you didn't hit that one because then I'd get convicted. That's your personal one that you need to deal with. That you know that you're trying to push under here and say, but God knows it. Don't deceive yourself. Because otherwise you're a dog chasing your tail and God's looking at you going, how stupid. No different than we look at a dog chasing after its tail. So you're deceiving yourself. How foolish can you be? You think you're pretty smart, but you're foolish. You're just plain foolish. We got to be careful with that. Amen? Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We must be strong in the Lord to not deceive ourselves. The only way you're going to battle this is you better be leaning on the Lord. He'll give you the strength to do that. Amen? Let's pray. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, we thank you for this time. And I thank you, Father, for an opportunity you've given us to open up your word and to dig into something in the area of being deceived. And, Father, what it means, we don't like to be deceived. But, Father, it's funny how we'll deceive ourselves in things and then we'll justify why that's okay. And we're just chasing ourselves around in a circle. And, Father, that's just totally foolish. And we're deceiving ourselves. And that's dangerous. And Father, I pray that you give wisdom to myself and to this church in how to battle that. Father, we need to be humble. We got pride. Father, we always need to be taking in your word and not just being hearers. It's so easy to come in if we're faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, week after week. And it's easy to kind of sit down here and get into a routine, but not eagerly taking in your word. And I pray, Father, that you would convict us of that and help us to know how valuable and precious and what a great opportunity you've given us in this nation to be able to do that. Then, Father, help us, convict us where it's needed in the area of just justifying sin and just thinking, yeah, it's okay, it's no big deal. It's nothing earth-shattering if I do that. And we're deceiving ourselves when we sin and then we're missing out on your blessings. And I pray, Father, you'd work in our lives in those areas. With every head bow and every eye closed, I also brought up about we could be deceiving ourselves in the fact of even knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's nothing more important than that, into removing those scales from our eyes about truth, about knowing him as Lord and Savior. Maybe as you're sitting here tonight, there's someone that says, I need to do that. I have been deceiving myself, justifying, but I need to get that right, and I need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If that would be you, if you just raise your hand, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody here that would say, I need to do that. I need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Christian, let me ask you a question. Are there areas in your life to say, I got pride and I've been deceptive with that? There's areas where I'm a hearer, but I'm not a doer. I'm being deceptive about that. I think I'm doing okay, and that's wrong. Or I'm justifying sin, and I'm just saying it's okay. In any of those areas, you say, would you pray for me? By lifting up your hand, say, pray for me and help me and help God to work in my life. Praise the Lord. Hands all over the place. I'll pray for you in just a moment. Maybe you're sitting here and say, hey, I know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, but I've never been baptized, and I need to get baptized. I'd love to join this church. If that would be you, if you raise your hand. Is there anybody here that says, I'd like to get baptized? All right. Then let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. And I'll pray. And after I pray, why don't you deal with this? You can come to the altar and bow a knee, humble yourselves, and let God minister to you tonight. Let's pray.